Welcome back to From the Ground Up with Mark Weller. I'm Matt Rienzo here with my co-host and real estate pioneer, Mark Weller. What's up, Mark? How you doing?
I'm great. It was a great weekend and spring is here.
That's right. Well, we got a great show today. As you, our loyal listeners, know, we've had many different types of high-level executives on the show, from real estate developers to restaurant operators, construction execs, entertainment experts, even sports personalities. We've had all sorts of interesting guests, each presenting their own individual experience and perspective, but with their own special twist on it, on the industry and on the conversation. And today we have an incredible guest for you. Laura Kohler is the Chief Sustainability and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer for Kohler. She has been a member of the board of directors at Kohler since 1999. Laura has been a major component of the Kohler team for years, helping build Kohler and the brand into what it is today. So without further ado, let's invite Laura Kohler onto the pod.
Laura, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Matt and Mark, and thrilled to be here.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for being on. It's an honor to have you here. And let's start with a big picture. You know, such an incredible company that your family has built over generations. You know, what is it like in a leadership role at such a successful, large global company? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, that's a big question. And I will just try to tell you that it's an honor and a privilege to be able to really continue to learn and grow with Kohler. And in many ways, I say that I've worked my whole life at Kohler, but to be honest, came back in my late 20s professionally as a full-time executive, but really started working in our hospitality business at 16. So my father felt strongly that we each kind of come into the business in our own way, doing the things that we were passionate and good at. And we each had roles in the company in our teen years, whether they were part-time jobs or internships, whether we worked for the chief economist or worked in the factory or worked in the hospitality business. And then we went off to college, we went off to graduate school, worked for other entities out in the world, and really kind of came back in our late 20s. And we all converged within the same kind of couple of years together, and really saw the company grow, I would say, from, call it, you know, 12,000 people to over 40,000 people today. And, you know, we're over 50 manufacturing locations around the world. We're on six continents. We're in multiple industries. And to see the journey Kohler has made over that time, over the last 30 years, has been exciting and an honor.
And what's really interesting is you've actually been there for, or been around it for almost all of it. And that's been just an incredible amount of energy and passion, and it's turned into something that is world renowned and very special.
Well, we've added new businesses, we've added new countries, and you know, you learn as a leader real time when you're adding Korea, you're adding Italy, right? You're adding a new business that is clean energy. You're adding a new business that's a tile business that works with artists and designers. You're adding a power business. So really exciting. The work is different every day, and our population continues to grow and change, and our customers continue to evolve. So it's very dynamic and actually just fascinating and fast moving.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then also during your time being an executive, even in that time frame, technology has changed so much. And so everything your company is able to offer and how it's offering it is probably evolving too. That's just incredible. So I wanted to ask you another question, you know, regarding your role as Chief Sustainability and Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Officer. Tell us about that and what that entails.
So I've been really doing that work for the last 10 years, but it wasn't my day job. Mm-hmm. I would say it was 10% of the 100% of what I did. I was head of HR for over 20 years, and we added stewardship, sustainability, and diversity in the last 10 to 15 years. That piece of the responsibility got ever bigger. And what we decided to do was really pivot my leadership, and David Kohler, our chief executive officer, established the role, Chief Sustainability and Diversity Officer, to really shine a light on the opportunity with customer, with brand, and in the countries around the world on the work of environmental sustainability, innovation for good, repurposing waste, which we do, our factory waste is repurposed into product, and working with our businesses around the world to do that. So we're really excited about this new role at the top team of the company that really helps capture the, I would say, the feedback from the market, from people like Weller and architects and designers into what they're looking for, and how do we keep pivoting our company and embedding environmental sustainability into everything we do.
That's incredible. And, you know, I know I read that Kohler's goal is to be net zero by 2035. Talk about that. And is that actually possible by 2035? That's, you know, that's a really big commitment.
Well, you know, it's our ambition, and we're continuing to really work in a very focused way on achieving those goals in operations, scope one, scope two, and scope three. Our businesses take it very seriously. We measure and manage our progress. We published our first sustainability ESG report in 2021, and we are about to publish the 2022 report. And I think the public will be very pleased that we're making progress across all of our platforms. It's not easy, though. Do we know exactly the roadmap to get there? No. You know, do we adopt new technologies? Do we invest in wind energy and solar? Absolutely. Are we investing in new businesses that are more clean energy focused? Are we focused on environmental impact of our products? Yeah, we do that every day and hold ourselves to account for progress.
That's really amazing. And I just give credit for the company making those efforts, making those commitments, and putting somebody like you in charge of it, because we all need it. I mean, every company needs to be doing it, and that's really important. So,
and remember, this is not a publicly traded company. This is a privately held company, and they have decided to put this upon themselves.
Right.
Which is really amazing.
That's right.
And, you know, and I look at our business here at Weller, you know, we're a triple bottom line company, triple bottom line developer. We want to generate returns for the investors, but also improve the lives of surrounding communities. That's always been huge for what matters to us the most, while at the same time being keenly aware of solving the environmental issues every step of the way. You know, Six Senses is a good example. Sustainability initiatives there are very robust. In fact, the supply chain procuring products is a very unique way. So not even to have plastic and deliveries that come to the resort. They and we also source products locally as much as possible, work with local farmers to supply food for the resort. Those are just a couple examples. These are the things that are near and dear to our hearts, a couple of initiatives I've heard from you recently, which in talking to you and your team, which I thought were really interesting, was the Waste Lab and the Innovation for Good Incubator. Tell us a little bit about those and what they mean.
So a number of years ago, probably about 10 years ago, we found that a number of our associates were really wanting to innovate, but couldn't bring their ideas into the new product development process because we were jam-packed with great ideas that, you know, were very much in the strategic line of the business. But we had associates who really wanted to innovate on clean water or clean power for, I would say, the underserved parts of the world. We also had the sustainable development goals out there, some, you know, solutions that really needed to bubble up from companies and governments and NGOs to solve the world's biggest problems around food, around poverty, around water, clean production, things like that. So we decided to create Innovation for Good that harnessed the power of our associates, their ideas, to solve some of the world's biggest issues in the SDGs, Sustainable Development Goals. We picked number 6, which is access to water and sanitation, something we're uniquely suited to attack, number 7 and number 12. So 7 is clean energy and 12 is production, right? Being responsible producers out there. And that particularly affects communities and the environment. So that's how we really focus ourselves. We take Innovation for Good. We have the iPrize event, which is an annual event that is a themed event. And our associates opt in teams and they compete in regional events. We bubble up to a final iPrize opportunity. And then we award money really to probably 5 to 10 teams to innovate for the next year around their idea. And then they go in front of top executives again at the end of the second year. And we choose to incubate some of those ideas in IFG or we put them into the business. So that's really the way we harness the power of our associates around the world to innovate for good.
That's incredible. I love hearing that. And I'm sure it's very productive. I'd love to see more in the future about the ideas that are coming out of it as well.
Yeah, well, Waste Lab is actually an idea that came out of Innovation for Good. And we decided to look at the dust piles that come out of the foundry and the pottery. We took the dust that is the remnants of the manufacturing process and started to kind of make something of it. And we realized that it makes really beautiful tile. So, and we're announcing, we're also going to be launching 100% Waste Lab sink in the fall.
Awesome.
I know, it's super cool, through Artist Editions. I'm not sure I'm supposed to tell you that, but that's coming in the fall. It's our first kind of major product besides tile coming out of the Waste Lab.
After getting to know you all, I've become a Kohler groupie, I have to admit. I just love everything that you all do. It's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible products, and yes, and we all have them in our homes and businesses and everything. So one thing I did hear that I wanted to ask you about, I love this. I don't know if it's a tagline or just something that you all point to, but sustainability in production, responsibility in design. I just love that. And I think that's what I might even name this podcast, Mark. So what does that mean to you? Is that something that you all say quite a bit, sustainability in production, responsibility in design, or is that just kind of a mantra?
You know, we believe it. We walk the talk. I would say, you know, think about the impact we have on our communities. And if you have a manufacturing facility, or you run a hotel, or you have a business, you impact that community. And the challenge you have is, do you impact that community in a positive way, in a virtuous cycle, or is it a vicious cycle? And we believe that as community stewards and believing in better, we need to impact our communities in a positive way. And that creates, you know, sustainable businesses, sustainable communities, and it becomes virtuous. And I would say we just practice really responsible manufacturing and try to continue to improve our footprint in any community around the world. So that's really meaningful for us. And that is our kind of our guiding light, is better lives, better communities, and better planet.
Awesome. That's great. So tell us a little bit about Kohler with regards to where the future of the company is headed from a product standpoint. And also, you know, most of us are familiar with the Kohler brand for bathrooms, kitchens, and home products, but where is the business headed in the next 20 years?
Well, I mean, you know, we are always reviewing strategy and reviewing kind of how we deliver that amazing experience to people who touch our products and services. We have not strayed from the mission, which is we deliver gracious experiences for everyone who touches products and services every day of our working lives. And our goal is to continue to delight you, you know, meaning if you come to a golf resort, you're surprised, you're delighted, you're experiencing something you can't experience anywhere else. If you come to one of our hotels, you are refreshed, you're rejuvenated, you meet an experience that you haven't met anywhere else before. And I think that's where the innovation from Kohler comes into play. We are always innovating and challenging ourselves to be better. And you will find in the next 20 years, really a reinvestment in innovation across all of our businesses, a focus on really how to be sustainable over time and be the best citizen we can be in the communities where we work and live. And really a focus and a continued focus on artistry, the importance of design, the importance of really continuing to lead and role model in the industries where we decide to play.
You know, it's amazing if you think about, I know you know your annual numbers and so on, products, how many faucets are sold and all the different products in toilets and faucets. And you just think about how many Kohler products are used every day by how many people across the globe. I doubt you could even get to that number, but it just must be incredible to think about the company name across the entire globe being touched and used by so many tens of millions of people weekly, I would imagine. It's fascinating. It's fascinating, actually. And I love that you remind us about the experience with brand and how you're touching people and the opportunity, the way your brand is built and how, and what it represents to each experience with Kohler is meant to be great.
Yeah. And that will lead me to my next question. And it might take me, 30 seconds or so to verbalize this. So bear with me. you know, we're very involved in building as a real estate developer, building beautiful places and spaces. And that's what we do, frankly. Our business, our current pipeline and projects are all focused heavily on luxury, hospitality, hotels, resorts, branded residential. We've always been hypersensitive to creating positive experiences for people and placemaking. That's our DNA. It's in our DNA and it's essential to modern real estate development. People may not appreciate that Kohler had the same mindset. Your company was built in Wisconsin around a vision. Your great grandfather started the company in 1873. Your great uncle built dorms essentially to support all the employees and make it possible for them to live proximate to the company and create a community. And then your dad had a vision and he wanted to create a destination around production and rejuvenate the area through manufacturing, which we've already talked a little bit about. He essentially pivoted the company to a really strong hospitality mindset. Placemaking, attraction, experience were all part of his plan with, you know, making Kohler an anchor point in all of Wisconsin and making it a global brand. And so talk about this journey that your dad started of making a great place in Wisconsin and how your entire team kind of continues to perpetuate that today.
So, yeah, interesting. We, you know, there wasn't a stoplight in Kohler when we were growing up. And, you know, we all went away to college and graduate school and worked for other businesses and came back. And all of a sudden there was more than one stoplight. You know, there was a gas station and a market and a retail shop. So it's a small village, about 2,000 people, and it's consistently stayed about 2,000 to 2,500. And it is very unusual that there's a manufacturing headquarters across the street from a luxury five-star resort and a village of residents. You don't normally find that relationship in a community across the street from one another. And the way that we've made it all work is landscape and using the environment to blend residential with hospitality with manufacturing. And if you come and visit us in Kohler, you'll see how it works beautifully. It's also a walking village, so you can shop, you can go to school, you can come to work, and it's all within walking or biking, and we have bike paths that connect various ends of the village. But so this village has changed and evolved over time. We have, and his vision was, you come here for wellness, for retreat, for golf, for hiking, to be out in the fresh air and the environment, but also to rest and rejuvenate. And it continues to come to life. And our CEO, David Kohler, who happens to be my brother, believes in just taking that vision to a higher level and continuing to surprise and delight those guests who travel here. And they really will leave refreshed and rejuvenated and probably will go and visit us in St. Andrews, Scotland, which is our other major destination.
That's incredible. So how many, if you were to estimate, how many years would you say that that environment has existed as you just described, where it's kind of like a pure live, work, play, do everything, really cohesive place? It's been a couple decades, or is that fairly new or older?
I would say it's at least 20 to 25 years old. You know, he started really building the vision of hospitality with River Wildlife, which was a log cabin restaurant that he brought log by log from the West and built our own log kit. We've expanded multiple times because it's one of the best restaurants in all of Wisconsin. You know, my father made.
When are we taking a trip, Mark? This sounds unbelievable. Yeah,
you guys have to come. And we renovated the dormitory for immigrants into the five-star, five-diamond hotel that is known as the American Club. So, you know, lots of great stories of innovation right here around this global company that's headquartered right here in Wisconsin. And we have associates now all over the world, and they come and visit, and we make Kohler chocolate as well. I didn't kind of tell your audience that, but they can also have
Kohler chocolate. I have a box of Kohler chocolate. It's incredible.
Do you really?
Yes, wow. I do. I have a very nice box of Kohler. Actually, I confiscated an extra one too, so I can do home. Very good chocolate.
Yeah. So, you know, lots of opportunities. We have new golf courses and new experiences regular, a design center that is absolutely beautiful. And we have tours of the original factory that has been here since my great grandfather built the company. So, you know, just a really cool place to visit and work and live for us.
That's great.
So, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate, especially in this day and age, is supporting American companies. I know Kohler is a global brand, global company, but you have 15,000 employees in the US, which is significant. And you're based in the US. How do you balance the US based philosophy and many Americans want while being a global brand?
Well, with the richness of the customer and the influence of our design studios all over the world, the capability of manufacturing that comes from where the best electronic capability we have, where some of the best design is happening in different design studios around the world, the ability that we have to tap that kind of diversity of innovation, of new ideas, of manufacturing capability is what we can deliver. Right to the consumer. It's being diverse globally with different capabilities that we're able to tap on makes us a better company each and every day.
Yeah, no, I see that. And I will tell you, I mean, it just makes me proud to be an American when I see a company like Kohler, though, doing such a great job and then taking it out and bringing back the best of what's around the world and pushing it into all the different initiatives that you have here and the design and so on. So it's that's a great thing. And I will tell you, there's a lot of people who really appreciate that.
Yeah, one of the things I wanted to ask, kind of changing gears a little bit, is just talking about, you know, for some of the young people listening and wanting to learn from you and hear about the industry, you know, someone who's maybe graduating college or just starting out in their career, you've had a really just an incredible career, and what types of advice could you give to young people in general who are looking to break into, whether it's manufacturing or more of the hospitality side of what you're doing, or, you know, just your company in general? Like, how do they work towards that? Or what advice do you have for young people who might want to pursue what your company is doing?
So I have three daughters and they're all in their 20s. So they would say, what does mom know anyway? But
I have three daughters too. So I get a lot of that.
Okay. But, you know, I will say that I'm a big supporter of kids in their 20s experimenting and exploring with different careers and traveling to take advantage of internships, part-time jobs, so that they can figure out what they like and don't like. And, you know, the world of manufacturing is different than when our fathers and our mothers kind of were in the business. The world of hospitality is all about service and care and super interesting. And I think kind of, I would say tap your passions, but tap what you're good at and experiment with different jobs in your 20s and really take time to move to different places when you don't have a lot of other commitments. So to me, they will find their passion and their strength through discovery and learning.
That's great. Thanks for that. And, I have a couple more questions, but we're getting close to the end here, but I wanted to ask you, want to talk a little bit about the Building Museum Gala that's coming up in a few weeks. Kohler is being honored at this event. Tell us about that. And I know you'll be there and we'll get a chance to enjoy that evening together. Tell us about that event and what it's for and the benefits of it.
So we're very honored that the National Building Museum has decided to honor Kohler Company at our 150th anniversary in 2023, which we're really proud of, and also honor the legacy of my father, Herbert Kohler Jr., who passed away after 63 years of managing and leading the company in September of 22. So we're all gathering with some of our closest partners and customers who have been with us for so long in Washington, and really kind of celebrating the journey we've been on together. We couldn't have done this without really great partners out there in the world that help give us feedback, how we could be better, our innovations, and learning from all of you that are using the product in your communities. So we look forward to it. And we are spending the year celebrating 150 years. We think John Michael Kohler would be pretty proud of us today, and really looking forward to the next 20 to 50 years ahead of us and what that entails. And the next generations of Kohler hopefully will continue to be interested in working at this company and involved with us in the future.
I think honoring you all for the 150th anniversary is incredible and well-deserved. And it's a really big deal. It's a big thing. And we're just lucky enough to have that here in Washington, D.C. So I've seen some of the greatest people in the real estate and construction industry honored throughout the years at that event. And congratulations on that. That's a really big deal. And I'm excited to be involved with it.
Yeah, that'll be great to celebrate with all of you. So we're looking forward to that. Last question. You know, you mentioned innovation and some of those trends, that you're seeing. Are there any other trends, specifically on the product side that you see maybe coming in the next 10 years? I mean, I know there's probably only so many different things you can do with certain elements, but are there any trends that you're seeing outside of the innovation? Because obviously you guys all have that nailed, but for the listeners at home, is there anything you see in manufacturing in general or in your specific product type? Is there anything that you see as a trend that might be occurring in the next, 10, 20 years in this next period of time?
So, we are seeing design for environment as a methodology taken through every business and every product and service that we have. Mm-hmm. And that really means that no matter if it is a service in the hotel or if it's a product in kitchen and bath or in the power business, we think about the impact to the environment at the beginning of the design process. So what does that mean for the consumer? The consumer should be able to eventually see information about how that product was designed, what that product is made of, and they can feel confident that when you're buying a Kohler product, it is made with the environmental impact in mind. So I think that's going to become more and more the standard for all of us, for developers, taking into account the building systems and how that impacts the environment, the products that you put in. We will have an expectation that we deliver great education materials, a menu of ingredients in every product, and that we make it explicit to the consumer. So I really think that's a trend. I also think that even down to packaging, we all are responsible for the waste that happens when we develop a site, when we ship a product, and our consumers are going to hold us accountable for packaging, not just for the product itself. So those kinds of trends are happening. And then we need to continue to listen to what you're hearing in the field, as well as architects and designers, and respond and be agile and really move more fluidly, I would say, with how do we respond to your needs and turn it around and meet the needs of the consumer faster and more effectively?
That's awesome. And it leads me to another question. Mark teased it earlier. We're working with Six Senses in Napa and then also in Grand Bahama. And they're very specific with sourcing products. And they even don't bring in products that are wrapped in plastic. That's how deep they go. I really, as I've gotten more into this in the last couple of years, really think about it every day when I'm driving my car, how much gas I'm using, or when I'm buying stuff, do I know if it's been made with environmental sustainability in mind, or is it the opposite? Is there anything in the product arena that tells a consumer that this is made? You have the made in America, obviously, which is, that's a thing that people look for or whatever. But on the environmental side, is there any seal or environmental standard that gets put on your product so people know, or maybe that's something that you could start doing that tells people, hey, this is made with, whatever net zero or whatever the terminology might be for that particular product, but that it's the highest environmental sustainability in mind. Is there anything like that exists?
Yes, there's two things, and we have them available upon request. So Environmental Product Declarations, EPDs, it's a third-party verified document that communicates the environmental impact of a product, and it covers the full life cycle of a product. It tells the consumer the life cycle story of that product. So it's a pretty detailed piece. But it is super important, and we can do it for almost any product you request. Then a declare label is the other verification, and that's a third-party verified product ingredient label. So think of when you read a package of a snack bar, right? You see the ingredients. The same thing you can see on a Kohler product, and it's used by specifiers to identify more non-toxic and healthy building products. So again, those two things vary. One is environmental footprint and one is ingredients. And more of our products will have those labels, and they will be, you know, accessible to the consumer if they want to see that.
So that's a thing that they have to request to find out, like through an email or something, or is it on the packaging?
Well, so eventually they are, I mean, some of our product have it on the packaging, but developers, specifiers can say, I want all of, and it's actually a significant investment for us to do it for every product.
Right.
We don't do it every time, but we're continuing to add more and more products that have EPDs and declare labels. And if you were a major customer of Kohler, so if you were a big retailer and you wanted every Kohler product that you sold on your shelves to have EPD or declare, we could give that to you.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
That is very interesting. And you are an encyclopedia of information, Laura. That was a pretty yeah. good response.
I'm not sure I could follow that.
But no, I just follow it. It was actually incredibly detailed and important to know. And I think that you'll see a lot more of that in the future. You're seeing it with a lot of most of the products that are being made now. You're seeing it in the field of the ability to find out more about where it's been made, how it's been sourced, what's going on through the process, and so on.
You know what? So I'll just tell you, I've learned something today, which surprised me. You know, water sense products, you know, water conserving products, and the EPA's declaration that you have the water sense certification is now, it used to be a badge of honor. And now it's like, of course you have that, you know, so we've moved beyond it being seen as a huge attribute to, of course, it's the price of entry. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. So that's what I mean. The bar is continuing to be raised.
You know, my favorite thing about staying at older hotels, sometimes when they're not totally renovated, or sometimes in Europe, it's like this a little bit, but lately newer hotels are, is the shower heads. The shower heads just have so much water pressure, and understanding the issue around water and preservation and so on. And then finding ways to return that water over, gray water, they call it, so on, back over into the shower and use it. Because there is nothing more luxurious than a great Kohler shower head pumping X amount of gallons per minute down on you, as opposed to the new water saving ones. And there's technology, I understand, they're coming up with to rejuvenate and recycle that water so you can recycle out of your shower and so on. So there's a lot of things that will allow luxury and so on to continue,
and
while still being sustainable.
Yeah. And think about our engineering capability to shoot air through water and create the same sensation without it being the full force of all those gallons of water. So the technology and the capability that we're able to bring to innovation to actually conserve water, but give you the same luxury experience you expect, that's the challenge for our innovation teams.
I want to have, and I got this idea from a friend recently, but I really want to have just a Kohler spa. You know, you already have a couple of those. I know you've built some of those, but I'd love to have just in one of our resorts that we build in the next few years, just have a totally dedicated everything Kohler, the most innovative product out there that really, really represents and shows the best of the best American ideas brought in from around the world. Hopefully even much of it would be produced here as well. It would be incredible to see that. And I know you're doing a lot of that already on your own, and you're doing it with some other partners as well, but I hope we can be a part of that too.
Well, so wellness, well-being, right? Super important to each one of us. And we want that not only in our home environments, but we want to travel and experience that where we're taking, you know, our vacations, our holidays. So I think you're kind of on a strategic path that's going to be super important to Kohler in the future.
No doubt. I love it. Thank you.
No, that's great. And, you know, before we do that, Mark, I think we need to take a trip to Kohler, Wisconsin, and just visit and hang out and see all this. It sounds pretty amazing.
And eat chocolate.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
Right. Go to our spa and have a couple of golf rounds.
Yeah, we can do it all. Yeah. You can do it all at Kohler.
Go for a weekend.
Yes.
That's awesome. Well, Laura, this has been amazing. Just an incredible conversation. Thanks so much for being with us today. Really just insightful and interesting. And I know our listeners are going to really enjoy this. So thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, it was a great conversation. It was awesome. Thank you so much for making time. I know you're busy. Really appreciate you taking time to speak with us.
So fun, gentlemen. Thank you for having me.
A big thank you to Laura Kohler for joining us today. Fascinating, awesome conversation. We look forward to hosting many other industry leaders on future episodes. We'd love to hear from our audience. If you have a suggestion for a guest or a topic, reach out on social media at Weller Development on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. I'm Matt Rienzo. He's Mark Weller. Thank you for listening, and keep building, people.